I want to rejoice this morning with Josh and Caitlin at the fact that they're married today. They've been planning, their families have been planning, and it's good to hear that they were able to have a wedding and able to have a little bit of a drive-by kind of thing, or I guess it was a parking lot wedding, as I understand, and just grateful that the Lord has brought them together. I also want to rejoice over the fact that Peter Friesen is going to be heading back home and is at the hospital here and or back in Altona at the hospital. And his wife met with him and just got reunited after several weeks of just being apart. I want to begin with a word of prayer, and then I just want to share a little bit about making disciples, and as a tribute to Victor Fernandez, a very dear friend. Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you for the beauty of the day. Thank you that we can pause and reflect upon your goodness. Thank you for the worship team this morning, the ministry and song, and allowing us to meditate upon your goodness, your love. All of us want to hear, well done. Thank you, Lord, that you came, that you actually made disciples, and that you commissioned those men to go and reach others to tell the good news. You not only affected their lives, but you've affected millions and possibly billions of lives over the centuries. Undoubtedly, you are affecting our world even today, our very lives. And so we commit our morning to you. Again, Lord, we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. Pray that you'd undertake for those who are hurting, for those who are ill, for those who are grieving today. We rejoice, Lord, with those who are celebrating new marriage, and just pray that you'd give them wisdom in days ahead. Help us to hear your heart today as we give thought to the ministry that we've been involved in, how you've brought and bring people together across the world, across time. In Jesus' name, amen. Just going to look back here. Is that on there? Oh, that's not real great, but that's fine. No problem. Okay, good. Okay, I want to begin today with thanking the Lord for his wonderful plan, you know, making his good news available to each of us. Not just us, but across the globe, across time. We at Faith Evangelical Bible Church and Emmaus Bible Church are in partnership with God's people around the world. We, like the disciples in the New Testament who heard Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, express the thought that we are to go, as you go, make disciples of all nations. You know, that's quite a challenge when you think about it. After all, when you think about all the nations, how many languages do you know? Currently, Transworld Radio is involved in proclaiming the gospel in 235-plus different languages, actively involved in giving out the scriptures in many other languages as well. Crossing Cultures is involved in training pastors and church leaders in many different countries, and again, the materials are available in some 20 different languages. There's a lot of work to do out there. And so when we think about making disciples of all nations, we should appreciate that it isn't something that we should be taking lightly. And on the one hand, it's a wonderful opportunity. Here you are, and you got a chance to meet people, got a chance to share, oftentimes through a translator. You're doing it cross-culturally. It's an opportunity for you and I to witness what God is doing across the globe through the lives of just ordinary people. In fact, if you're watching this morning and you're passionate about reaching the lost, God is already at work in and through you. And so the Lord is working through the lives of men and women, boys and girls, and local churches. That's a great thing, a wonderful thing. people who want to obey God's will and want to fulfill His plan for reaching our generation. On the other hand, there's this awesome reality that you can't get it all done yourself. You actually got to partner with people. And then there's a cost involved. There's a cost that you can hardly imagine. There's a cost of time and energy. There's an emotional roller coaster that takes place because you are watching people across different nations who are suffering. On the one hand, thirsty for the living water. On the other hand, not having the opportunities that you and I have. When I first came to Winkler Christian Fellowship Church, the church that is now named Faith Evangelical Bible Church, had a heart for reaching the world with the gospel. That's what drew me to want to be a shepherd here. I appreciated the heart of these men and women who love the Lord. And throughout its ministry, it's been instrumental in selecting, sending, and supporting those who are intent on making disciples. In recent years, we've had the privilege of discipling people here locally. We got a number of Bible classes in which we have men and women, young people from various churches. And we've been discipling people directly and indirectly in countries like France and Germany, Haiti, Africa, and the Philippines. Today, we're here because we want to make disciples of all nations. We want to be involved in baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus commanded. Today is a day of remembering, but it's also a day of thanksgiving. In particular, we want to give thanks for the life of Victor D. Fernandez, born July 7th, 1946. On Monday, May 24th, I received an email from Victor Jr. sharing with me that his dad had just passed away. As I stopped and I prayed and I reflected, a flood of memories went through my mind. Tuesday evening, Victor and I spoke through Zoom, and we reminisced. We shared tears together and been in prayer for he and his family since that time. Sally, I wish I could be there and give you a hug and let you know that we love you and pray for you. So how did we come into contact with Victor and Sally? It was the summer of 1998, and we received a letter from the Philippines. It was addressed to Christian Fellowship Church, Pastor Mike Comtois. I have the letter. Well, not that specific letter, but a whole bunch of letters in my briefcase over here. It was addressed to me, and I wondered. I was intrigued. I don't know anybody in the Philippines, with the exception of Sam and Melody Kuka, who were former members here at Christian Fellowship Church before I got here. So as I read the letter, I was touched by the sincerity, Victor's desire to tell others and to actually pray for us. One thing I know, although I didn't know him, was that he was a brother in Christ. Christian Fellowship Church at the time was just beginning to grow. We'd been here a few years. And so I shared the letter with Les, and I believe Ike and Roger, a few others. Can't remember if Corny was there when I shared that. But I didn't think much of it at the time, and so I kept getting these letters, and finally it just sort of dawned on me, and especially when Victor had asked me to consider coming down there and doing a ministry, a seminar for pastors. And so I shared with the leaders at the time, and I said, you know, what if God is trying to help us to be involved here in a unique way. I don't know what it looks like. I don't have a clue. Well, what do you think? Should we embark on this venture and go into the Philippines? We all agreed. Little did I know that we would be catapulted into a ministry that would affect thousands of people around the world. Little did I know that God wanted to use a small church to affect men and women and boys and girls again around the world. And in those days, we didn't have much in terms of resources. We weren't very large as a group, but somehow the Lord wanted to use small things. People who didn't see themselves as big, but nonetheless wanted to be involved in the big plan. He wanted us to be involved in making disciples as a church family. So Victor wrote a few more letters and then asked if I'd go and lead a pastor's training seminar. We didn't exactly know how it could happen. We didn't have much, like I said, in terms of resources. But in the words of Victor, he says, the Lord will find a way. The Lord will provide. We didn't realize how poor Victor and his family and the people in the Philippines were. We were living in North America. We just assumed that most parts of the world, and we understood that the Philippines was, you know, they were evolving. And yet, economically speaking, but apparently not so. There was corruption, and there was poverty. There were very rich people, but there were very poor people, and Victor and Sally were amongst the poor. So several months later, I flew to the Philippines. The adventure, go make disciples. Walking by faith. All I had to go on was a picture of Victor Fernandez. I spoke to him a couple times on the phone, trying to figure out how are we going to make this work. I remember flying into Manila in the middle of the night. I stayed with Sam and Melody for a few days and trying to get some idea in terms of how I was going to meet Victor and exactly what it was that God wanted from us. So as I flew into Iloilo and was coming into the airport, I noticed that we're coming in real low, but it looks like we're going to about to fly into a jungle. Because right near the runway of the airport, there were just a bunch of shanties and so on, and everything was pretty close. You know, not like, you know, you go to the Winnipeg airport and you could see for miles and miles and almost see the Rocky Mountains from there because it's so flat. And there I was, getting off the plane, looking around. And there he was. I recognized him. Got into the jeepney, grabbed my bags, and for some reason I thought he was a bigger man, but as it turns out, he was actually shorter than I was. That actually made me feel good a little bit. Not really. But I remember thinking, there's a lot of short people here in the Philippines. I actually got a picture of me in one of the classes that I taught when I was down there on my first trip, and everybody in the picture was short. I was tall. Boy, it felt good for a change. Anyway, we went out and had a hamburger. His family, unbeknown to me, were actually waiting outside in the heat of the day. And I hadn't realized how poor they were. They couldn't come in. They couldn't afford to buy a hamburger. But then again, they didn't know how poor I was either. I didn't have much. Took a little bit of cash with me, and I went by faith. After coming out of the restaurant and recognizing his family was still sitting in the jeepney, I said to Victor, I says, I hope you realize I'm not a rich man, and I can see that you're not a rich man. I said, my plan was to stay with you. Would you be all right with that? He said to me, he says, no one's ever wanted to stay with us. I told him I was prepared to eat what he ate. Of course, no onions, please. And no raw fish either. I told them it'd be a pleasure if I could stay with them. So we got back into this jeepney, glorified taxi, where you could pack in as many people as you possibly could. And he and Sally were speaking in Ilongo, and I assumed they were working it out. You know, where was I going to stay? Their oldest son, Jerusalem, gave up his room, and I learned to eat the Filipino diet. Lots of mango, lots of rice. Victor and Sally and I got to know each other. Sally was rather shy, but every day we prayed together, read the word together, we laughed. I'd like you to turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I want to talk about the man and his family. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart." Come on down to verse 7. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." I'm assuming that we have challenges here. Okay, still have battery here. Okay. Yeah. Do you want me to shut this off? Or? Yeah, okay. "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us." Interesting, here I had left my family to join his family, to somehow partner in a ministry which I still didn't know exactly what our part was going to be. Come on down to verses 16 and 18. "Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is seen is eternal." And so Victor married Sally, January 26, 1974. As I know, they had six boys: Jerusalem, Victor Jr., Zion, Melchizedek, Joshua, and Christian. They've experienced a lot of grief through their married life. Their son Zion died in an enlarged heart, likely a congenital issue. Their son Joshua also died. In the last few years, their son Jerusalem suffered with a stroke. Sally's dad lived next door, somewhat in a stilted hut, if you can imagine, because they were living in a floodplain. And it wasn't uncommon for them to have the water come all the way up to the second floor in their house. Sally was the provider, frankly. She was the businesswoman. In fact, she was a Proverbs 31 woman, one who cared for her family, got up early in the morning, found a way in which she could provide for her children. Later, one of her brothers would pass away, and she would be responsible, she and Victor would be responsible for caring for some of his children. When Zion passed away, he also had some children, and they would be responsible for caring for those children as well. Wonderful couple, Victor and Sally. A heart for people, a heart for family. Zion on the left, and There's Christian. Joshua must have just stepped away from the table, couldn't get his picture in there. You could see we were having a fine diet of bananas and wieners for breakfast. Here's Jerusalem. This goes back to the year 2000, 2001. This is Christian today, involved in the local church ministry, and he's the behind-the-scenes kind of guy, loves the Lord, worked with young people, encouraging them. Here's Melchizedek. How would you like to have that name for your kids? It's a good name. Yeah. King of Righteousness. Melchizedek and his wife, Annalise, have a couple children. And Melchizedek's a cook. Wanted to move here to Canada. Tried to make that happen, but didn't work out. This is Victor and his wife, Rose. They have two children, Kemuel and Chad. And here's here's Jerusalem, and he's cooking fish. And when he started off, I got some other pictures where he just grabbed this fish and put some coals together, and that was, they have, you know, their kitchen is sort of out in the open kind of thing, and it's not like they have sealed windows like we do and all that kind of stuff. And he was cooking away, and he showed me this fish head soup. Oh, he loved it. Loved just taking the meat off the bones and you know, chewing on the eyeballs and so on. Yeah. Here they are having breakfast. Three brothers. Lovely family. It's been a privilege of mine to meet them and to get to know them. Here are some of nieces, nephews, niece and nephews, possibly even grandchildren. I'm not sure which ones these are right off. These are Zion's children or not. This is Sally after her stroke. And we're just on getting ready to head to the airport and got a picture. You were having a mango shake. Victor and Sally love the Lord. Sally is grieving today, but she also can look back and reminisce about how they were able to have a family together, how they could actually go through life together and God was taking care of them. Let's talk about the man and his vision for a moment. Victor began to share his vision for his school. He talked about it briefly. What he wanted was some professors with seminary training to teach at this school. He'd been given a piece of property by the Southern Baptists, as I recall, built on the floodplain. There was no building there, but because of the floodplain, the mission likely didn't think it was going to be something that they could use anytime soon. So they thought of Victor and says, hey, maybe you can do something with this. So Victor went out and he borrowed a bunch of money, took all that he had, and he started building. He did so by faith. And then he ran out of money. This is some years later, and I was there. This is 2000, and I think this is 2012, and I was there in 2001, so this is another 10 years later. So what was Victor doing? He was writing letters to pastors in North America, see if somehow he could find some churches to partner with him. He said he wrote all kinds of letters, and I was the only guy that answered. I wasn't going to be the answer to his vision in terms of the way he saw it. I was saddened by that because I just didn't have the means, and likely I didn't have the faith. I just knew that somehow I needed to find a way in which I could help him. And what I said to him as I left the Philippines in 2001 was, I'll find curriculum for you. And so I got on the search for some curriculum. And I got a hold of David Nelson. He was working for BTCP, Bible Training Center for Pastors and Church Leaders. And he was a missionary in the Philippines for some 13 years, he and his family, and had just relocated to Tampa as his children were getting older and needed to get them into secondary and post-secondary schooling. And so Victor's vision to actually train and make disciples stemmed from the fact that he just wanted to see others teach the scriptures. He wanted to provide an opportunity for young people that he had received. Somebody sponsored him so he could go to Bible college. He worked with young people, shared the gospel with them. He'd spend time investing into their lives. He wanted those same young people to invest in the lives of other young people. And as he shared that with me and I got to meet some of the young people that he was mentoring, I was challenged by his vision, challenged by his courage, challenged by his sacrifice. God has instrumentally provided various people in my life, and Victor was one of them, to challenge me to be the man that God wanted me to be. And so hence, BTCP was involved in training, and we got curriculum for Victor and classes, and he had roughly about 100 students initially, and we basically helped get that ministry going in that sense. Here's just a representation of some of the people that were involved in those initial classes. On another island, Mindanao, we have another group of pastors. And so BTCP was training pastors and church leaders around the world. And they had curriculum that was really well suited for people who otherwise couldn't afford to go to a college or a seminary that was being used in local church. And so while I was in Iloilo, I went to one of those classes, and actually there were classes, several classes every night of the week. And I was, again, just intrigued by it all and said, I wonder if we couldn't do something like that. By that time, of course, I'd started teaching Bible classes, but we needed more people to teach. And so as I poured my life into many of the people that are teaching now, they would then in turn teach. Victor is an evangelist. He loved to tell people about the Lord Jesus. He had a passion for sharing the gospel. He wanted everyone to know who Jesus is. He would meet anyone, anywhere, and anytime. Sally knew. He'd get up early in the morning. He'd be going to a prayer meeting. He'd be going to meet people, talk to people about the Lord Jesus. He talked with the poor. He talked with the rich. He talked with the influential. He talked with the politicians. He talked with the police. He talked with everybody and anybody that he possibly could. And many came to know Christ. This is a man who prayed with passion. He loved working with young people, and he led many of them to Christ, persuading them of the grace and the love of God, evidenced in the sending of his son. And so it wasn't uncommon for him to have all kinds of people. He's going to baptize all of these people. We haven't had that kind of ministry here. We've baptized a few, number of times in a year. But this man was sort of the John the Baptist Filipino style. he would share the gospel and invest in the lives of these people. They had youth rallies constantly. It was just quite fantastic. Sally was a strong supporter of that ministry and made it possible so he could be reaching young people and starting works in different places. Many of these young people, he was hoping that he could get them into a school, sponsor them. But who would sponsor them? He didn't have the money. Who would take care of that? Telling others about Christ. You know, children at a young age love to hear the story. They love to hear that someone loves them. That God, their creator, God, their savior, the Lord Jesus loves them. He was an evangelist, but he was also a shepherd. Turn with me the 1 Thessalonians again, passage that Nick read for us. I guess I had in the scripture reading 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I discovered there weren't those verses that I said that were there. Oh, that happens. I remind them there weren't any chapters or verses back then. We started reading at verse 6. I'm going to read partway through. Verse 6 says, as apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. Victor was gentle that way. He did have high expectations of the young people that he ministered to. But he was tempering that. When they were really young, he was gentle. And as they matured, he got tougher on them and required an accountability, which stretched them and helped them. It says, we loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. And so oftentimes, guess what Victor would be doing? He'd have these people over into his home. Victor partnered with another ministry out of England. As he was leading people to Christ, he needed to find a place in which he could actually bring them into a church setting. So how he envisioned it was, I'm going to have a church, and from that church, I'm going to take my students, those that I've mentored, and I'm going to bring them through the school, and then from there, we're going to start planting churches. I loved his vision. It's interesting, it's the same one I have. Doing it maybe a little differently, but frankly, not all that different. I believe the model is there in Scripture. And so this church that we see here, Living Waters Church, it sort of ebbed and flowed. People came, people went, just like every church. People came to Christ, some matured, some didn't. Some were rice Christians, if you will, looking for a quick handout, but Victor tried to find a way in which he could continue. He never held it against them. As they left, he walked with them whenever they wanted to walk. Whenever they had a need, he sought to do whatever he could because he was a shepherd. He also liked to shepherd pastors. These are two pastors, and we went on a trip and went to a couple of different islands where these guys were actually had these little house churches working with the poor, meeting in just little places like this. No formal building. Let's meet together and let's talk, let's pray. Lots of kids. Kids need to hear the good news. And so behind Victor and Sally, we've got four girls. These four girls had a ministry to a lot of the young ladies. They appreciated the fact that Victor had shared the gospel with them and counted them worthy to be partners, and he gave them roles where they could go and minister to others. Sorry. We took a trip, and we went to one of his brother's churches on another island, and we got to meet some people. Again, just amazed at the number of people and how far and wide Victor was known. Again, some young people, his sons, just love the Lord. The gal, second on the right, her name is Connie. Connie, special ministry in Ali Mojan. Basically a children's ministry, a women's ministry. But she loved the Lord and faithful, willing to trust Victor's mentoring, and again, Sally supporting, helping. A number of years ago, Victor started losing his eyesight. Sally also had been losing her health, suffered a stroke, and what were they going to do? Here's the ministry sort of hobbling along. Who's going to take over in Iloilo? It's only recently that they were able to finalize some of the plans as it relates to the building and all kinds of snags Many of them are related to finances, and we've had a little bit of a part in some of that in terms of clearing some of that up. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, just a few pages over. So Victor's sight was failing, suffered with diabetes. He had type 3. Sally also had diabetes, suffered a stroke. Now, Victor was suffering with cataracts, and it was just the end of March that he actually had surgery done. Victor was keenly aware that this diabetes was beginning to have its impact upon his life. We would walk and go different places, and the exercise was good, but he also needed to rest. And one of the things that he wanted me to do was to enjoy the journey with him. So we'd be walking along. He says, "Would you like ice cream?" And I was thinking to myself, this guy's got diabetes. What are we doing having ice cream? He says, "Oh, it's okay. I eat just a little bit." And sure enough, we would have time and meet other people, have ice cream. As he was aware that his body wasn't keeping up, suffering with dizzy spells, and he talked with his son, Victor Jr., and asked him if he'd want to help with the ministry in Iloilo. So Victor and Rose were actually living in Manila. They also were living in a floodplain. A number of years ago, that was flooded out, and again, we helped out where we could as they appealed for help. Pictures that I have of that time is everything was just flooded, lost everything. Everything wasted and ruined. So Victor moved to Iloilo with his wife Rose. That wasn't easy. Just like when we moved here, we still had a house in Wawa and, you know, all the challenges of having, you know, too much responsibility and not enough cushion. That's sort of where Victor was, and he was trusting the Lord with that. So here he is teaching. These are urban professionals, young people who are, you can see the constable on the left with his wife and just teaching them book one. Book two, Old Testament survey. Victor wanted all of his boys to become preachers. Not all of them did. Not all of them wanted to. Victor's the only one so far. But they all love the Lord. They've all appreciated the fact that their dad sought to model Christ-likeness. God was training Victor Jr. in Manila. He had a ministry, and it was in a very poor section. It would be preparing him to live in poverty in Iloilo. Many young people came to Christ, again, following in the footsteps of his dad. Here he is with a group of young people, he and his wife Rose, and again, just seeking to honor God with their lives. Again, how do we pass the ministry on? We pass it on to faithful men and women. 2 Timothy 2, verse 2 says, "And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others." That's what Victor did. And many were attracted to his ministry. Many came to appreciate his love for the Lord Jesus. Many not only heard the gospel, but sought to walk in obedience. So what's our part? What's our part? Well, our part's to continue to make disciples. Whenever, with whoever, and however we possibly can. Training pastors, church leaders, trying to find a way in which we can make disciples of all nations. Victor and Sally have dedicated their lives to making disciples. It's been at a great cost. They've seen a lot of suffering. I don't think we should expect that we're going to get through life without suffering. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I can still remember sitting down with Bible in hand pretty much on a daily basis while I was in the Philippines with Victor, just he and I talking, praying, wanting to ask. He was asking me questions all the time about different passages of Scripture. He was teachable. The only thing that he really wanted to do, though, was tell people about the Lord Jesus. I don't think he was planning on leaving. Planned on leaving so soon. Sally wasn't ready. It was all a surprise. Suddenly the ambulance was there and suddenly he was gone. Death is the enemy. Death will be destroyed. Death will be vanquished. Life, eternal life is going to prevail. We get to live by faith till that life will completely transform us in every way. The Apostle Paul writes as he is facing impending death. He says, I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. Not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. Again, I can still hear Victor praying. I can still hear him challenging the congregation. He'd say, praise God, praise God. And I'd be there in the meeting. I'd just say, yeah, praise God, absolutely. And I could see the children responding. It was a little more of a charismatic style and so on, but his heart was right on. He gave his life for his Savior, who gave his life for him. We're going to meet Victor again. I'm confident that he's going to hear the well done, good and faithful servant, as we sang this morning. Victor and Sally, please know that we pray for you. Victor and Rose, we pray for you. It's natural for me to say Victor and Sally. I know, Sally, that you miss them. I want to thank the Lord for just having a part. You help disciple me. I'm still learning, still growing. Thank you for your friendship. And we'll continue to do what we can to help you, to love you, and to help further the work in the Philippines. Victor and Rose will chat soon. Love you. Let's pray. Lord, again, we praise you. We thank you. Thank you for the men and women who love you, who've given their lives for the sake of reaching men and women, boys and girls around the world, who've come to understand that what they have received, they need to share with others. Help us to do our part. Help us to pass on the baton, to walk by faith, to do whatever it takes so that men and women, boys and girls would hear the good news. Thank you, Lord, for bringing Victor into our lives. Thank you for that letter that was sort of out of nowhere, so to speak, but at a time when we needed that. What a great God you are. What a sovereign Lord. What a gracious God, forgiving, patient, kind. May you, in your grace, continue to use us as you see fit. Help us to walk alongside Sally, Victor and Rose, Melchizedek, Jerusalem, Christian. Pray for Connie and her ministry, Ali Mujan. Pray for all the things that you're doing in the lives of people there. May you continue to use us and bring in the harvest, make disciples for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen.